my place in tech changes every day. But I don't fear the future, because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts, so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
What's up, everybody? You're listening to Hollywood Unlocked Uncensored. I am Melissa Ford, a.k.a. the Curve Queen. The tyrant, Jason Lee, is not in the building, but we're holding it down for him.
Thank you, Jesus.
We love you, Jason.
Yo, what's up, your boy Giovanni? Hold on. I can't get it today, man.
I know. I think I saw you on a stage last night. Little stage called the BET Awards.
Hey, man, God is good.
Okay, well, we'll get into that later. Yes, well, we'll do that after we introduce our guests. We have got Zoe Williams here from the Zoe Williams Show here at Dash Radio.
Thank you. Welcome back again, man.
Yeah, friend of the show. Great personal friend of mine.
Appreciate it.
Oh, I just love you
so
much.
The viewers love you, man. So we're happy that you're back.
Oh, man, I appreciate coming back, man. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. And today, we have a very distinguished guest. You know, we like to class up the joint every once in a while. So we've got Bakari Sellers.
Bakari!
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you, like, what are your favorite, you know, identifiers? Because here's the identifiers I have on my cheat sheet, right? American politician and attorney.
That's crazy.
Somebody's been hanging out on Wikipedia. That's what that is.
Wow. And that is our researcher, Kelvin. Kelvin, I'm going to get your motherfucking ass.
And he's black.
No, I was in the South Carolina State House of Representatives for 8 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I was the youngest black elected official in the country. I ran for lieutenant governor in 2014. And
talk that talk.
Now I'm an attorney and political commentator on CNN.
What type of attorney, though? Criminal?
You got issues? Call me.
Shit. Hysterical. Let her do you know.
The price goes up on the West Coast, though.
Hey, that's okay, man. As long as you keep my ass from behind them bars.
Yeah, no, I do everything but family law. I always tell people that domestic stuff, nobody wins but the lawyer, so I can't.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Where are you legally allowed to practice law?
Well, I mean, we usually work with other attorneys in various states, but we work in Georgia. We work in, of course, South Carolina, North Carolina, New York, Florida. Mm-hmm. We can travel if need be, and if we need to come out here to Cali.
Well, it sounds like somebody got to have a budget to hire you.
No, I need a budget now. I got to pay student loans back.
He's got to do that.
This ain't free.
I know. Shit. Not cheap either.
But you were on the BET Awards stage, so.
Man, that was a little, just a little speckle of sand. That's the grain of sand thrown on the beach, bro.
Well, with one rock star, it's a huge wave across
the
country.
That was deep, man. You know, that was like my third or fourth. No, that was actually my fifth rodeo on the BET Awards. But I had a great, great time. Thank you to Hi-Hat and thank you to Tyrell Washington Trina for asking me to be a part of what the viewers are saying, the best performers of the night.
Meek Mill
featuring Miguel.
Yes, Stay Woke.
Mm-hmm. And it was just fun bringing that song to life.
Yeah, I didn't know if you were going to make it today.
You were
sounding like you were like death.
That visual
up.
Was dope. I don't know. I appreciated Boot Up though, because I she needed the whole stage, but I go in on Boot Up though.
The thing about that song people don't know is like 2 years old, but it just blew up, and I hate that she didn't get on that bigger stage.
She needed
the bigger
stage.
She's a new face, you know. Shout out to DJ Mustard, that's his artist, and
oh really?
They cut her off. Because of Jamie Foxx's old ass.
Oh, really?
Okay, well, this show's about to go viral.
I love Jamie. I'm trying to get invited to the next house party. So, Jamie, what's up? How you? I can come
what's
out
up?
There.
How you?
I think we might be able to arrange that.
Oh, that's a breeze.
Yeah. Okay, so let me just jump right in and ask. I'm going to go off of the cheat sheet because I'm going to need you to explain some things to us.
I do my best.
So it said you represented South Carolina's 90th district in the lower house of the state legislature from 2006 to 2014. That is a mouthful. I'm like, what does all that
what does this mean?
Mean?
So basically, in most state legislatures, you have a House and a Senate, and they always refer to the House as the lower house. So I was in the House of Representatives. I wasn't in the state Senate. And so, you know, like in Junction, how a bill becomes a law, you dream up something, it goes through subcommittee all the way around through the House and then back through the Senate and hopefully at the governor's desk. And so, you know, one of the things that the way that I transitioned from being in the South Carolina State House to being on CNN after I lost my election for lieutenant governor, being a Democrat in the South is very difficult. Being a black young Democrat in the South is even more difficult. Mm-hmm. I was working with one of my good friends, Clemente Pinckney, on various issues, expanding Medicaid, taking the Confederate flag down. Mm. And as many of you all know, Clem was one of the nine people. He was actually the pastor of Mother Emmanuel AME Church. Mm-hmm. And he was one of the nine people gunned down by Dylann Roof. Mm-hmm. So nice. you always to kind of fill this circle, you always have to be prepared for your opportunities, just as you were last night. My opportunity was born out of tragedy. And so when CNN call, they call me from a private number.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I always tell people, if somebody calls you from a private number, it's one of two people. It's either somebody very important, or it's a student loan company calling you.
I was going to say, it's a bill collector.
Trying to find you. Right. So, we're going to find you.
So I picked up, and you know, my life has been a blessing ever since.
Okay, so Let's talk about that. You know, a lot of people, you know, reference tragedy. It's like a bookmark in all of our lives. You know, for me, 9/11 bookmarked my first year to the day that I moved to the U.S., you know, and, you know, when my anniversary was marked by tragedy. And, you know, I had all my Canadian friends and family saying, are you coming home now? I'm like, they're going to have to bomb my house for me to leave the States. It's not happening. I'm not coming back to Toronto. It's like a book I read a long time ago. Chapter closed. What was it like being, you know, a citizen, like growing up in South Carolina? The church was like one of the most,
one of the oldest AME churches in the, in the country. I mean, that church has been going, it went through so much. I mean, it was burned down. Mm-hmm. They had underground churches for a long period of time. It would rise like the phoenix always. And the church is doing extremely well now. Mm-hmm. When I'm in Charleston, when you guys are in Charleston, South Carolina, I'd suggest that all of you all go to Charleston. 60% of all of our people came in bondage through Charleston, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. It's a good place to be and see. But you know, for me, when that incident occurred, it wasn't necessarily a chapter closed, because I now have to live for all of those people. Mm-hmm. I now have to speak for all of those people. Mm-hmm. When my father was in the civil rights movement, he would carry a picture of Emmett Till in his wallet.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I just, you know, Jennifer Pinkney, Clem's wife, he has two little girls. I have to be an example and do those things necessary. So it's not necessarily a chapter closed. It's one that's always living and breathing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So as a Democrat, is the term snowflake usually applied to Democrats or people who are, you know, or liberals or whatever the case is?
I mean, that's what it would be. I mean, it's ironic because that's what Trump calls us. But
it's
funny. I'm blocked by Trump, though. So I mean, I'm not
on Instagram.
I was going to say
Trump ain't got no. He'd be in trouble on Instagram.
He blocked you.
He blocked me on Twitter. Yeah.
Wow. So
can you imagine the DMs Trump sliding in on Instagram now? I actually, my wife gets on me all the time because for Instagram, if you don't know how to use it, it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I didn't know for a long period of time that other people could see the pictures you were liking.
Oh. Yeah. That's how 90% of these brothers get caught up.
So my wife was like, why
here
you?
We go.
I mean,
here we go.
Why you liking manifesting Mary's pictures?
So then I realized that I'm doing way too much when when you open up Instagram and then you gotta hide it. Because you know, at a certain time, like Worldstar just loses his mind. they just lose their complete mind on Instagram. And so, he blocked me on Twitter. And I had the opportunity to meet the current president once. We were in Manchester, New Hampshire. And
the current president. I like that term.
I mean, that's what he is. I mean, he is the president America deserves. Yeah. And so we'll deal with that when the time comes.
Yeah, wow, that's a heavy statement.
Damn.
It really. Okay, but wait.
Take off from the free throw line then. Why don't you?
One
with a blindfold on. Like, jeez.
But what led to him blocking you? Like, was it a succession?
I have no idea.
You know?
I mean, he's a snowflake.
Melania probably thought you was attractive.
What did you say to him?
I like to be honest and truthful. I like to hold, I always tell people I like to hold my people accountable first, because then I can hold them accountable. Mm-hmm. And if I can't talk about black folk the way I want to talk about black folk, then I can't talk about them. And apparently he got in his feelings about something.
Can I just ask you this question?
Sure.
As a black Republican.
I'm not a Republican.
No, he's a Democrat. Sorry. That rumor got started and it was a bad one. I was about to
come for him.
Like. Yeah, I was. No.
So you're not a Republican.
No, I served as a Democrat. I have
okay,
born.
Good.
I'm, I, yeah.
Okay, good.
Ooh, I was about to come for the guillotine.
Yeah, I know. You were waiting.
He more than woke.
Some people are too woke, though. Some people need to take a nap.
Is there such thing as too woke?
Yes.
So you're a little too woke.
I would like to hear this. I'm interested in the philosophy.
There are people who attempt to judge your blackness at every single step.
Yes.
Well, wherever there's judgment, there's sleep. There's no wokeness in judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, the maybe shit we're you just talking said past each like other.
Yeah, I think maybe we're saying the same thing.
It just happened.
Yeah. All right. We agree.
We're passing in the night. We're good.
He just needed. Yeah. He just needed an explanation as to what does too woke mean. But that's pretty much.
I'm good now.
That's pretty much it.
I got insomnia. Yeah.
Okay, so you are the son of Gwendolyn Sellers and civil rights activist and Professor Cleveland Sellers.
Correct.
So I was going to ask, how does... It's, calm down, Gio. Wow. Just put the paper down.
That's huge.
That's line two.
Right there. It is. I did read that too.
Bakari.
Yeah.
Over here.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I was going to ask, how does a young black boy from South Carolina aspire to get into the world of politics? But I mean, that kind of makes a little bit more sense. What was it? What was it like growing up with a civil rights activist and a university professor as a father? And
so my mom was a university professor as well as my dad. My dad ended up becoming president of a college. But, you know, they kind of instilled in us this insatiable desire to learn as much as possible.
Okay.
So you were always on this journey just to be. Mm-hmm. And my parents always would say, you can go to any college as an undergrad, we'll pay for it, as long as it's an HBCU.
Mm. Of course.
So there was always a catch. You know, you could go, and they expected us to go to graduate school and all of that other stuff. But my father was the civil rights activist part of this. My father went to Howard University. Mm-hmm. His best friend was a young man named Stokely Carmichael. Mm-hmm. Stokely graduated from Howard, convinced my father to drop out of school. My father joined SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, was there when it was founded. Mm-hmm. He went to Philadelphia, Mississippi to search for the bodies of Goodman, Turner, and Cheney during Freedom Summer. He was involved in the most deadly civil rights demonstration this country's ever seen.
Wow.
February 8th, 1968, three students were killed at South Carolina State, Henry Smith, Samuel Hammond, and Delano Middleton. Mm-hmm. 28 were wounded. My father was wounded. Mm-hmm. All 9 officers who fired shots into the group of students were tried. They were all found not guilty. They actually identified my father when he was shot in the hospital, arrested him, denied his bond, housed him on death row while they denied his bond. They deemed him to be an outside agitator. He was charged, tried. It was a jury of 10 whites and 2 blacks, and he was convicted. Jesus. And I always tell people my father is the first and only one man riot in the history of this country. He was charged, tried, and convicted of rioting, sentenced to a year. He was originally looking at 75 years in prison.
Mm-hmm. That sounds about right.
And he ended
up... Sounds about white.
Yeah. The irony is that this is going to blow many people's minds, but the irony is that a Democratic governor, Bob McNair in South Carolina at the time, put him in jail. And a Republican governor, Carol Campbell, in the early 90s actually pardoned my father. And so what I tell people is my father's sacrifice, being shot, being imprisoned. He'll tell you the greatest sacrifice was being in jail while my sister was born. Mm-hmm. Her middle name is Abedame. It's Swahili. It means born while father's away.
Wow.
And so we just, you know, we live our life aspiring to be a part of something larger than we are.
Your household sounds really cerebral.
Yeah, I want to come and eat dinner there, man.
So this is how crazy it is. On Friday, you're welcome.
So
on Friday, on Friday we eat spaghetti and fried fish.
It just sounds like
during the summers, my mom cooks chili and cornbread.
You serious?
And cornbread. See,
we got an open door policy. Movement.
From what you're talking about your past and your family, that's just this. So I can imagine other stories and other things to learn. Like, so just eating dinner at your house with your mom and dad, sister, and that's a good time.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about life. When Clem was shot that night, I found out I was actually at a fundraiser for Hillary Clinton 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's like 3 years ago, mm-hmm. this past 3 years ago, a week, 10 days ago. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, this happened, and I called my dad, and my dad, you know, we talked about the fact that we are having many of the same shared experiences. My father.
I was going to ask that. So your father is still with us?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And so what is your father's perspective on the fact that it seems like history is just repeating itself? Now we just have cell phones and cameras at every turn to be able to, you know, see what's actually happening, that really not much has changed. I mean, like, how would that feel to somebody who, you know, marched for civil rights in the 60s to see that we seem to have not taken one step forward and maybe 2 steps back? Or what's his perspective?
It's interesting because he now leaves this race up to us. Mm-hmm. You know, my father and many people in his generation, they've run as fast, as hard as they can.
Does he think that we're doing a good job, though?
My father's the guy who in Baton Rouge, for example, after Alton Sterling was killed. Uh-huh. Yeah. My father's the guy who'll call and be like, hey, this is what you need to do, Bakari. Call all your friends in Black Lives Matter. And tell them, please, stop protesting at night. He said, because people will do under the cover of darkness
right.
what they would not do during the day. He's like, we lost so many people at night right. that just went missing and disappearing, and we thought they would be at the jail, and we don't know where they are.
Right.
So for their safety, because he would never, he doesn't criticize the protest or how, he loves it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But he
just is concerned for everybody's safety.
And he'll teach you about different protest tactics because he lived it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he did it.
You know, Bakar, your father being a part of, you know, the civil rights movement and SNCC and all of that, for some, you would think seeing all of this change, this radical change from the time he got, you know, active and involved till now, you would think someone who's seen as much as he's seen would be cynical with regards to the political process.
But
I want to know what his thought process is.
The crazy part is he's seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people think that Donald Trump is new.
Right.
Like, I refer
but we
to.
Do.
But Donald Trump ain't new. Donald Trump is like George Wallace, like 2.0.
Right?
Like, they've seen the bull. They've seen Bull Connor like roll out.
Right.
And spray young people with. They've seen the dogs. They've seen the fire hoses. This is not new. Right. And they've seen America grow out of
it. But his abuse of, you know, his abuse of his, you know, social media to, you know, promote propaganda and lies, I mean, outright lies.
Yeah, are you talking about Richard Nixon or Donald Trump? See, it just
it's kind of
least
the same
Nixon
thing.
It's the same
exactly.
thing.
At least
exactly.
Richard Nixon faced retribution for that shit. I'm still waiting for the impeachment.
There has to become a time. Let me just say this politely, because this footage lasts forever.
That mm-hmm.
Republicans will have to display some testicular fortitude.
I'm using that. I don't know how I'm going to use that.
Fortitude.
No, that's not for you. That's on this side of the table. But go ahead.
Ovary
finish your statement, sir.
Ovary fortitude is for you.
I have figured it
balls. Fallopian fortitude.
So there's going to become a time when they're going to have to display that. And we'll see. I mean, I feel we would not be having the conversations we're having today if Hillary Clinton was president.
Let me ask you.
I don't know.
I concur with you, Zoe.
I think that the conversations, the heightened conversations we're having about race right now, we would be in a level of comfortability if Hillary Clinton was
president. I agree with you. I wholeheartedly agree with him. I think that we would be having, I think the both genders would be at war with each other. That's what I think would be happening if Hillary Clinton was in office.
Well, I will tell
office.
You this, that black men, I'm not speaking for all of us here, but black men are some of the most misogynistic people on the planet.
Wow.
Thank you. You know what? Let me tell you something.
I don't know.
I'm pitching that to you, Zoe.
Yeah. I don't. Listen, when you talk about black men in America, you have to understand most black men in America, especially the ones that are considered successful, you can't really be successful unless you capitulate to some degree to the overall system.
I don't agree with that.
I definitely agree with that. 100%.
Wait, well, you said it because so you right. would agree
I definitely agree with that. But I just think you can't. I think black men in America don't have a narrative that they write themselves.
No, that's
that I agree
capitulation with. Capitulation is a very weak-minded ideal, but the narrative we're writing ourselves is actually very true. I mean,
history is
an amazing word because, you know, for us, it's not his story. It's written by somebody else.
Exactly.
And it's a fable his that we've story. All kind of and like
that's
agreed
not,
on.
That's not because we capitulate. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's...
Well, you kind of got to capitulate.
Okay,
it's
hold
a go
on
along
one second
to get
here.
Along.
Okay, First wait, off, wait, I don't know wait. Help I was about to say...
Yeah, I hit
was...
you with insatiable earlier. Just I just
I like
you to,
insatiable. I
y'all three niggas. Look.
Okay, listen. Can we all agree that one, two, not you, three, are some loquacious motherfuckers, okay?
Loquacious.
But literally, we are...
Why do you like that?
Hold up, because he knows.
You got a big...
Okay, so what I want...
Out of all the
biggest word I know is gallivant.
But... Okay, out of all you the people outside. At the table last night, who was at the BET Awards? Raise your hand. Who was a part of the singular most important statement for black people in the last 24 hours? Raise your hand.
Damn, that was deep.
So, I mean, regardless of what we say, I'm with you.
Thank you for building me up and not breaking me down.
I'm right here.
Melissa breaks you down every time she gets a chance.
But
it's fine.
I am not a wordy person.
You don't have to be.
Melissa is one of the most... intuitive.
Ooh.
Wow.
Two times.
Ooh. Okay.
Smartest people I've met in my
Touché.
Just next time, don't put most in smartest. Just
don't do that. Don't. Then he's going to attack him on the grammar. Then he's going to ding him on the grammar. Don't do that.
I'm just
because I'm like, pitulate.
Wow.
What the hell does that be?
So that's the, you know what we're talking about though is that we have to be able to message to our people.
Mm. Right.
And we have to meet people where they are. And for a long period of time, Democrats, especially, I could care less about what the Republican Party is doing, have taken black voters for granted and have not met black voters where they are. Mm. And so, you know, as much as we talk about Trump and Russia, you know, when I'm in the barbershop, you know, people do talk about,
that's the best,
you know,
the street.
Oh, yeah. My barber is probably the most insightful brother you'll ever meet in your life. Mm. You know, he has a daughter. He has a new girlfriend. You know, he's trying to figure out these things.
He's doing his thing. Okay,
you know,
cool.
And he's working. He's working every day. He just got, you know, he just got ownership of the barbershop, trying to figure out new things and you know, living every day. And so they talk about like healthcare.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, criminal justice reform. Mm-hmm. You know, whether or not their little brother is now going to have to go to another unfounded war. I mean, they're talking about real issues, and that's what we have to do. We have to meet people where they are and not necessarily use words like loquacious or insatiable.
You know what? No.
That's fine.
Hold on one second here. Hold on one second. Just so you guys know, when we're talking about the word capitulate, it basically means to
surrender.
Yeah, thank you. I was going
to
say,
go along to get along is surrendering.
Thank you, because I wouldn't even have known how to simplify it. I was going to say kowtow, and people would be like, Melissa, kowtow. Kowtow. Kowtow.
Same thing. Great word.
Yeah, it's a great word.
Exactly. But they would be like, Melissa,
let me ask you a question.
I need to start reading it.
Since this is, what's the name?
You do.
Of,
you need it. The source.
Hollywood Unlocked Uncensored.
Hollywood Unlocked Uncensored. Since you guys are in, are we in Hollywood now?
Yes, we are in Hollywood.
I want everybody. Denmark, I'm gonna look at the camera because Melissa always looks at the camera.
He's doing a commercial. Let's get out of his way. He's a politician.
I have three stoplights and a blinking light where I'm from, and so I want you to know this is huge. Mm. So I think that what you see when you say black men capitulate is like a very, very Hollywood, LA thing. So my question to you all is like, what happened to somebody like Kanye West?
His mom passed and he lost his mind.
Here we go.
It was a gradual process. I think that his mother passed away. I don't think that he dealt with it from, you know, in terms of, you know,
not even accepted it,
but reached out to a mental health professional to assist him with what he was going through. I mean, like, we all need therapy.
But how do you go from college dropout to anti-intellectualism in a span of a decade?
Fame.
Well, that's what I just said. I literally just said that.
It's true.
That's wrong.
True.
You did him like that.
Don't I agree do with him. That.
It's true.
Why can't he just
this
be
is a little bit
dealing
true.
With a lot? Why can't he just be stressed?
I mean, we don't.
I think it's all of the above.
And then, you know, the spotlight is on him.
All of the
constantly.
Above. He's under a microscope.
Yeah.
It's all of the above. I believe.
Are that. you under a microscope too, though?
I mean, not so much.
Here's the thing: when my mother,
why did she just?
When my mother passed away,
when my mother passed away,
the last thing I had said and I said to my mother was "fuck you," because my mother wasn't in my life at all. My grandmother raised me. My mother was in and out of my life. She fell between the cracks
of society.
From Gary, Indiana.
Mm. Are you from Gary?
I'm from Gary, Indiana. Yeah. So my mother passed away.
Get asked about that.
Well, Michael Jackson is from Gary. Don't move too far.
Ahead. Come on.
I told my mother that last thing. I said, "Fuck you." Mm-hmm. I call home. My mother picked up. I said, "Yo, just let me talk to my grandma." Days and days went by. Nobody was picking up the phone. My grandmother picked up. I'm thinking something happened to my grandmother because she lives alone. Thank God she's still with me today. She told me. I said, "Grandma, why the hell you ain't been picking up the phone?" She said, "Your mother passed away." Mm. And this was 3 days after my mother was in the ground. So immediately I booked the plane. I was on tour with Omarion at the time, dancing. I remember the next day getting a ticket home, crying my heart and soul out on the plane because the last thing I told my mother was, fuck you.
Right.
So how do you deal with that pain now?
So
though?
To get there to coincide with Kanye, I never accepted or I never forgave myself.
Honestly, he might feel the exact same way that you do because his mother died on the operating table getting elective surgery.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So he might feel like there was he had some kind of responsibility to her to tell her, no, Ma, you don't need to do all that or whatever the case is. We don't know the circumstances, but that's...
It highlights a larger problem because one of the things that black men don't do is talk about mental health.
Depression.
My mother passed when I was 21. I'm 32 now.
You thought he was 45, right?
I still have problems.
I mean, with friends like this, who needs Republicans?
I mean, right? I still have problems right. accepting. I'm in Jason's chair. Every day.
So or it's a or mental, Democrats.
It's really. A, we having our own conversation over here.
It's a mental thing today that I still deal with.
I was on the Breakfast Club a couple of weeks ago, and I talked about the fact that I deal with anxiety on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. But I forgot the camera, because I was talking to one of my good friends, Charlamagne, and he has a book coming out, and I was like, that's what I deal with, and we just don't talk about these issues. However, to kind of pivot back, there's certain times, like, you have an amazing platform here, and you utilized your platform last night, and so there's a certain level of responsibility that comes with the platform,
right? Mm-hmm.
And so my question regarding Kanye is a larger issue, because I think that we have far too many African Americans, especially African American men, who pervert their platform.
But you know what? Mm-hmm. I think before you can get them to respect the platform, acknowledge the platform's power, you first have to deal with the cynicism around mental illness or mental health, the cynicism around the political process. So, there's when you look at the average black man, there's cynicism around going to the doctor. Yeah, period.
We hate going to the doctor.
Let me.
You see what I mean? So you have to deal with that part first.
I hear this. So I do sometimes. I'm starting a foundation now, and we're doing these things, and sometimes you hear. It blends into these other issues that we have.
It does. So, this is what I wanted to say. Let me put something, let me make something straight. I love black men.
You see how she just looked at the camera?
I saw because that. This is how I run the motherfucking show.
She's okay? Looking for confirmation. Just look at us. Wait a minute. You just said you loved us. What's going on?
I love you. Fuck you. Okay,
cool.
No, but let me say this. I love black men. I love everything about black men. I was raised by... a black man, an alpha male. God, he was my bestie, but I had a healthy dose of fear for the man because that bestie shit went out the window when I acted up. And what I think happens to you guys is so sad that you are never really allowed to be children. When you are children, you are forced to man up so early. And our current reality is showing us this, where young kids are going out and they're just getting gunned down in the streets and whatever.
Because police see adults, they don't see children.
Exactly. Exactly.
Tamir Rice, what did they say on the 911 tape? I mean, we got a grown man.
Exactly.
Out here.
And he had a toy gun.
He was 12 years old.
On a playground.
They saw an adult.
Yeah.
I mean, that's our reality.
So to go into mental health, it's almost like you're not allowed to display any form of vulnerability because it's processed as weakness.
I mean, even amongst ourselves, though.
You guys do yourselves a disservice by the rhetoric, the barbershop rhetoric that you guys have constantly. You don't say, cry if you need to.
You also had an entire generation of black men that were taken away from society.
But it goes back to your point initially.
That's what you mean?
Slavery.
Slavery. I didn't know how far we were going back.
I was actually going to 1994 with the 94 crime bill.
Your Clintons, the Clinton homies.
Well, not only the Clintons. But not only the Clintons.
Let me
just remind people, though, that not only was it the Clintons, but it was Joe Biden who wrote the bill.
Sure.
It was black preachers in the Congressional Black Caucus who were supporting the bill because they felt as if crack was an epidemic that we needed to put people in jail for. But you compare it. What's the versus? The opioid epidemic when we treat it as a public health crisis.
Exactly.
And so white kids need to be treated and black kids need to go to jail.
Incarcerated.
And we took an entire generation. We took an entire generation of black males out of society and didn't give them any tools to reintegrate.
100% agree. But this takes me back to the Greek meaning of the word. Politics, theater. I see it as all a play.
Oh, it is. You're
cynical as hell.
I am. I mean, that's why I was.
Are you talking about yourself?
Yes, but I represent a demographic of black men.
That's a very true demographic.
And I think in order for you to believe in the process, you're going to have to deal with what makes black men cynical. Because there are a lot of people that refuse to capitulate. Right.
Surrender
to a system that they feel is targeting them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you can't have a public enemy unless there are some real systemic problems on both sides, Republican and Democrat.
Or Flavor Flav.
What?
Y'all didn't get that.
Okay, just there's a couch outside.
Public Enemy
or Flavor Flav.
Now I'm starting to treat her like Melissa. There's a couch outside. Go lay down.
Continue.
I mean, I agree with that. My only response is that if you're not involved or engaged, then the world will pass you by.
Yeah.
There are decisions that are made every day that affect our lives. Many times they're made on your hyper local level, but there are decisions that are made. I mean, the way now that the federal government is treating drug crimes in the federal government. Now, mind you, we only have 2.2 million people incarcerated. Only 200,000 of them are incarcerated in the federal system. Mm-hmm. Right. 2 million of them are incarcerated in your state system. But of those 200,000, that's going to double.
Right.
Right. And so one of the things this Trump administration is afraid of is the year 2043. And why is 2043 important? I mean, it's an amazing number because that is the year that the census and your scholars tell you that for the first time in the history of this country, white Americans will be a minority.
Let's get as many of these niggers in the cage as we can. Let's get them in the box.
But it ain't they're really not even worried about black folk anymore because we have a criminal justice system which kind of takes care of that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So now they focus the attention on our immigrant brothers and sisters
who are coming.
And so literally we're going to put more people in a military base. I'm still 33. My voice is cracked.
No, I got
we
you.
Still have military base confinement than Japanese internment camps.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so when you start to look at what's going on around us, that's why I understand the cynicism. So my only thing is the quote Ronald Reagan. I mean, Ronald Reagan. I think it was Ronald. Well, yeah, to quote Ronald Reagan, trust but verify. Mm-hmm. So my statement to you is that with your cynicism, ask more questions. That might have been Richard Nixon, but I think it was Ronald Reagan.
And I think you're right about the question asking, but there has to be some answering.
And you answer yourself, though.
I feel like everybody feels like they've got the answer. You go out, you go do the research, but I think the outreach has to be different.
The outreach has to be different. Yeah, and I agree with that.
Okay, you know. Well, let's talk about the immigration situation that's happening at the borders currently right now. Because when you get online and you see all of the images, you know, Time Magazine had a really prolific image on their cover recently with that little girl whose mother had gotten detained. She was 2 years old and she's standing there and she's wailing and she is just the complete and total depiction of just despair. And her mom's being arrested, and then you've got this picture of Donald Trump, you know, off to the right margin of the photo, just looking down at her, like, and you just wonder what he's thinking, and he's probably thinking, should I kick it? You know what I'm saying? Like, wow. Seriously, no, but I know that's
yes, we can't. No. You see what I did there?
I see what you did there.
Yeah, I'm following your lead.
Wow. Magazine. You was in Time Magazine 2010.
I was 40 under 40.
And that's a huge accolade. I love Time Magazine.
I've been a subscriber for
years.
It's huge until you get 33. And you're like, what am I going to do now? I mean, that was like still 2 years ago.
Okay, so Bakari,
can I just throw this out there?
Yes, please.
So that image was used inappropriately.
Educate us.
Yeah, that image wasn't actually. Time Magazine made a huge.
Oh, no. They made the image. It wasn't.
No. Yeah. What I'm saying is that girl was not actually separated from her father.
Mm.
She was one of. Her father was Honduran, if I'm not mistaken, and she actually was not separated. So you have a lot of my friends on the right who are yelling fake news, blah, 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 blah,
fake,
blah.
I was going to say fake
okay,
news.
Okay, so wait, what's the circumstances behind that photo? Because that's what it looked like. It looked like yet another child who'd been ripped from her mother's breast.
No, she was, the family was detained, but there was no separation. And so my only point in telling you that is that people will move the ball on you. So now there's this huge controversy around the fact that the image wasn't what was portrayed.
But that doesn't take away from the fact that there is thousands of children have been taken away from their families. And you know what's scary is the fact that even though he's written that executive order that kind of backtracks on the policy and whatnot, that there's still these children that have been displaced and can't locate their families.
No, they put them on a plane and they send them to... You know, many of the kids go to Florida, and your mom or dad is in Phoenix, Arizona.
Right.
And then they give you what's called a tear sheet with a number on it. And you press one for English and two for Spanish. And you hope to relocate.
How do they find their child or their...
They don't.
A lot of them are not finding their children. Don't.
So what happens is you have an executive order in place, which kind of helps... and they say they've reunified 500 and... some odd families. I don't necessarily
buy that. Yeah, but there was thousands of kids that were separated from their families. So but
you, I cannot imagine.
But I think you also.
So now what they're going to do with the executive order is, so you're like, okay, they have an executive order, so we keep families together. So what happens then? Oh, you just put the whole family
into the internment camp.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So what do you?
Okay, we'll just sort this out later.
So what do
everybody
you
go into the camp
and ask yourself. So the next question you ask is, what crime are they committing?
I was about to say. So what do you say to the people who get online and they're just like mega? Well,
she's Canadian. She said online.
She did say that.
That's a foreign. That's we need to check your papers.
She's not even American. I don't even know what we're talking about.
I don't even know what she's talking about.
She's from Crenshaw.
Fucking
all the time. You found out Melissa Ford was from Crenshaw.
You fucking suicide bombers. You're blowing up my spot.
She doesn't even know the words to the national anthem.
Listen,
she probably kneels. She kneels.
Is about to expire.
I do.
She know that Childish Gambino stay
listen,
woke though.
Listen, motherfucker, stop talking. My shit is about to expire. Okay, I'm calling my immigration lawyer when I get out of here. Jeez. Anyway, so what do you say to the guys to the people who are online talking about? Well, if these people wouldn't come across the borders committing a crime, then they wouldn't be separated from their families. Like, what do you say to people who have that kind of mentality? Not even trying to process the fact that they're running for their lives in their respective countries. You know, like what?
So
you
the
say
cynical
that?
Answer is that you know,
and what crime, is
the crime they committed is a civil crime at most. It's a misdemeanor.
I was about to say it's a
status. It's really a status offense,
right?
Which is civil,
right?
They're prosecuting it as a misdemeanor, which is fine. And then I would retort that you know, somebody like Jared Kushner, for example, lying on his SF-86 form is actually a felony, and he lied over.
There's no such thing as white criminality. It's fine.
Yeah, and so
white, right. Sorry,
and so white that male would be, that criminality. Would be my, that would be good. My cynical response.
We're good.
My you know, I would then challenge them to read the words on the Statue of Liberty.
Mm.
And you know, we are a country. I said this on CNN the other night. I was like, look, Jason Miller was on, who's the former communication director for Trump, and I said, look. He kept saying we're a country of laws, and I say we are a country of laws. I agree. I mean, you can't have a country, can't have a union without laws.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we're also a country of immigrants.
Mm-hmm. But the irony is these
that was profound.
Are,
can you let that sit for a minute? Let that have a. We're a country of immigrants too. Let that sit.
Right. Let it simmer.
Let's just let it simmer.
Okay. Now.
Yeah, here's a sprinkle. Okay. But that's the irony. Mm-hmm. We are a country of immigrants,
mm-hmm.
and all these white folk that are here. Came in
they
as
stole
immigrant
the land.
And stole everything
yeah.
and now calls everyone else immigrants.
Right. Yeah.
That's the irony of the whole thing.
How many times have each of you been told, go back to your country? It's just like, you stole us and now you're telling us to go back?
What I get that all the time.
What kind of shit go is back. That?
What? Okay.
I get that.
Go back to Africa, monkey.
I get that all the time.
That's yeah. crazy.
Y'all should read my feed.
I should read your feed.
My feed.
Feed. His Twitter feed. Jeez Louise.
I don't know where you from. Read
even hear slow.
I heard. The viewers are going to let you have it. They hate when y'all attack me. They
Gio,
hate
let me
that shit.
Let me tell you
I'm
something.
On your team.
You want,
I heard feet.
You want to know what you sound like
I
right now?
I heard feet.
You sound like Permit Patty right now with your white entitlement. That's what you fucking sound
I'm
like when you talk about
white.
The Geo Army.
I heard about.
You have
Geo
Army. You have a Geo Army?
Yes,
man.
Hashtag
man, we respect
Army.
The GO Army.
Yeah, we do.
Listen, I graduated top 10 from my high school. I might not know all these big words and all that shit.
Okay, just pick up a thesaurus or a dictionary.
I'm very educated when it comes to these streets.
Mm.
Okay, cool. Well, all right.
All right.
Zoe, you can go to your street. You know what, Zoe?
I fucks with you, though.
Let me tell you one goddamn thing, Zoe.
Fucks with you.
You're going to come over with this goddamn salt and pepper beard?
Okay. Hey, man, you know.
Okay, so let's bring it back to Bakari. Okay, so Bakari, would you say that you are friends with Hillary Clinton?
It is mine.
Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah.
That's your homegirl.
I was never in, when I started, I was one of the first black people to actually believe in Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Because South Carolina is the first primary in the South.
Mm-hmm.
I actually was the co-chair of Barack Obama's campaign
mm-hmm.
Back in 2007. So we were on the train when it was nobody else there.
Mm-hmm.
When he was wow. just, and so it took me a very long time to get into Clinton world.
Right.
And so, 2015-16 I was a very big supporter because I knew what the alternative was.
Yeah.
And so for a lot of my cynical friends and a lot of my friends who are further to the left of me, I think we now see the fallacies in the lesser of two evil argument.
Oh, absolutely.
Because now you have evil and you could have had Hillary Clinton, mm-hmm. and you have things that you.
But is I'm confused. Is Hillary not evil?
So yeah, here, no.
A lot of the caricatures of Hillary Clinton are still caricatures. It's,
I know what that
okay.
is.
Okay. Well, yeah. So a lot of the caricatures of Hillary Clinton just emerge from, you know, a lot of talking points that came from the early 90s, mid 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Super Predator.
Super Predator. So Margaret Sanger. All the videos we hear acknowledging mm-hmm.
Margaret. Margaret. Okay.
I'm just saying. But I mean, you can't talk.
So let's talk about Super Predator.
Yes.
Super Predator is just completely effed up. She apologized for it. We need to have a conversation. You got it. You
letting
have to evolve.
Go.
We got to dig through that and understand what it is. Super mm-hmm. Predator was actually a term used. And when you listen to the context of it, there's no excuse for it. Mm-hmm. It was a term that was used often during that time. It was research about Mexican and Hispanic gangs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She attributed to black people. And I'm like, whoa, chill. You can't do that. And so, thank you so much. And so, yeah, you got to hold people accountable for that. But when Margaret Sanger, I mean, we're talking about Planned Parenthood. You can't discount the work.
Okay, so wait, for our audience, for our audience, can we put into context who Margaret Sanger is?
Sure.
I don't know.
No, go ahead, bro.
No, you brought her up. Go ahead.
Because
I want to talk about the good work that Planned Parenthood does. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to step back from because of Margaret Sanger. Right. Mm-hmm. The 3% of the work that Planned Parenthood does are abortions.
Mm-hmm.
Right. 3%. But there are many people, especially black women, who wouldn't get mammograms, mm-hmm. who wouldn't get pap smears,
right.
who wouldn't get their, I mean, a long list of services mm-hmm. without Planned Parenthood. So, yeah, I understand your right. historical criticism of Margaret Sanger is very valid.
Right.
However, to juxtapose that against the reality we live in today that loses.
But see, this is what real conversation is about, especially when it comes to politics and African Americans getting involved.
Did you put anything in there, or did you just put?
Okay. If Jason was here right now.
But especially if we want African Americans involved, we got to give context.
No, I hear that. But
the party has to educate the constituents.
And my fault was mm-hmm. that I did a disservice to Hillary Clinton and I did a disservice to our people.
How?
Because I went out and told people who Donald Trump was.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't lie to you. It's mm-hmm. the same person who was sued for racial discrimination. When he had housing apartments in New York, he would mark C on the application for color. He was sued by black dealers in Atlantic City.
Wow.
The Central Park Five. I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah. Right.
And so my assumption was that there would be a larger group of people mm-hmm. who were able to rebuke that.
Mm-hmm.
And still come out and get energized and bring their friends, understanding right. what the alternative was.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't the case because, right. you know, 13% of black men voted for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I understand some of those.
Right.
Some of those still go back to the 94 crime bill.
So wait, hold on a second. That's the only reason that they voted for Donald Trump was because of their distaste for Hillary Clinton.
No, the 94
race.
Crime bill.
No, I know. So, them voting for Donald Trump, it goes back to their distaste for her because of the 94 crime bill and the super predator comments.
Some of that does.
Okay.
Some of it's also misogyny.
Misogyny, where they just could not have a woman.
Because you'll be surprised when I'm in the barbershop, mm-hmm. how many people say, man, I can't have no woman running the country.
Why? Because if she comes on her period, then there's 1 week at the month.
Oh, yeah, she's going to blow some shit.
How about this?
Like,
she's gone through menopause.
She ain't getting no goddamn period.
But I would say any concept of misogyny.
That ad-lib was...
That was hard.
Yeah.
I would say any concept of misogyny that black men have, I think is learned. Just like in a household. You model your parents. But we also model our country. We model our communities.
Mm-hmm.
And black men have always been marginalized by this community. And what is the paragon
what
of power?
What community are we talking about?
I'm talking about the African-American community mm-hmm. at large.
But that's not true because black women take care of us more than anybody else.
Thank absolutely. You. Say
absolutely.
It again.
But we model ourselves after this community. And I'm talking about when we talk about wealth.
We don't have wealth.
I know that. So who is the paragon of wealth in America? It's the white
Jay-Z
man.
Jay-Z and Beyonce. Okay, sorry.
They're it's not the, wealthy
it's,
either.
But it's the white man. In comparison to black men, it's the white man.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody is as misogynist as the white man, as evidenced by Donald Trump himself. So we're modeling, and I'm saying black men are not only modeling what, I'm not saying it's an excuse. I'm saying this is the nature of, this is who we are. We've modeled white wealth, or we've tried to mimic it. We don't have it. White people have 90% of the wealth. Black people have 2.6% of the nation's wealth.
So we adopt the mannerisms.
But we also mimic the white man's freedom to just dominate and disrespect everything. That's a symbol of power. In America.
Can we talk about wealth? Can we talk about wealth real quick?
Please do, yes.
Because y'all live in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Y'all don't know anybody. Y'all don't know a singular wealthy black person.
Shit.
I do. I don't know.
No, you know rich black people.
No, I know wealthy black people.
Does Will Smith count?
It's a difference.
Nah. Does Quincy Jones count?
No.
Does Floyd Mayweather count?
No, definitely not.
Shit.
Does...
You know, so, rich black people.
Okay, so you're talking about, like, you know, having like $10 billion.
So
kind of
this
wealth.
Is this what I'm
that's,
talking about.
Well,
let me give you an example.
So in that
let me give you an example.
I do know.
So during the process of the Carolina Panthers, the sale price, $2.2 billion.
Right.
So of all those people you named, in order to purchase the Carolina Panthers, you would have to put in $700 million in cash.
Off tops.
Okay.
Cash. Right.
Okay.
That is the majority
liquid.
Of cash. Right. Mm-hmm. So Quincy Jones, could he put in $700 million and live tomorrow?
No.
Oprah Winfrey is probably the only person you know, yeah. and that's probably all of her
well,
cash.
Well, we don't know her.
Will Smith. Will Smith. No.
Yeah.
So my point to you is that we know people who are rich.
Mm. Right.
Really, 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 really rich.
That's fine, but we don't know people who are wealthy.
Or and generationally we actually don't
wealthy. Agreed.
So we know they ain't generational.
So is this your,
we're still making our money.
So is, yeah, that's
is
agreed.
This your valid
that's
agreed. Is this your valid example of saying that wealthy, the white, 96% of the wealth comes from white people, a white man?
They control it?
Yeah.
They control 90%
like,
of
so,
the wealth.
So when you say that, we're talking about like the Bill Gates, the Warren Buffetts.
They give a lot. Those two that you named.
But they're wealthy, right?
Oh, no question.
So I'm trying to see. There's no wealthy black person besides the.
I mean,
African,
I think Oprah's
the
there.
Queen.
Oprah's there, but I mean, you,
she's
if,
there.
If you, yeah, I mean, name two.
He can't. It's not going to happen.
You can. You, can you?
She can't either.
No, but, you're right. I mean, I'm you not might claim
be able.
That
let
I can.
Me just let me
he's
clarify.
Making
you
the
may
point.
Be able
yeah.
to go. You may be able to go to the continent of Africa.
Yeah. And there's a couple of billionaires there.
Three or four.
Yeah.
Billionaires
are billionaires who can do this. But I'm saying, and I think Deshaun. I think Deshaun would agree with me in this because when you,
that was deep.
I think that we misunderstand what being rich and being wealthy is.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
And we definitely don't have generational wealth.
But sure, there's a gigantic, enormous chasm of inequality when it comes to wealth in America.
No
like
question.
I said before, 90% of the nation's wealth is in the hands of white people. Only 2.6% is in the hands of black people. 2% of that is in the hands of baby boomers.
Mm-hmm.
The other 0.6% is in the hands of everyone else, Oprah included.
Right.
So when we talk wealth, I mean, that's something
that's for me, we just don't have. For me,
that's a
teaching moment. That's what we build on. That's what you educate young people.
Right.
That's how you talk to them about investing and 401ks and those type things because that's important to build generational wealth. Because when you have this conversation, they'd be like, man, Jamie Foxx wealthy. No. Okay.
So hold on. So one other thing, because I know that we got to wrap up because you have to go. You have
this
some,
is good.
I know it is. I know. I only got him for a fucking hour. You know what I'm saying?
You're very disrespectful. And, next time.
I love you.
No,
so I told you. I told you how important it was going to be for you to be on today's show because, you know what I'm saying?
Well, he's a smart guy.
I
like
know
it.
That. This is, and that's why he's my friend. Okay. Anyways, okay, I digress.
Him.
Okay. So we're educating our audience today, and you are on the board of directors of Let America Vote.
Correct.
Okay. So let's talk about voter suppression because and the midterm elections that are coming up.
Correct.
A lot of people feel that they don't that their vote doesn't count. What's the point or whatever the case is? Like, give us a little bit of a you know. Just a
spectrum,
tiny
little... A broader spectrum.
A brochure, you know, kind
so,
of education.
Donald Trump is president of the United States because of 90,000 votes.
Yeah.
You know, a few thousand in Wisconsin, a few thousand in Michigan, and a few thousand in
Indiana.
Pennsylvania.
I know I was a Don... I'm from Indiana. They voted for him, too.
Yeah, but I mean, we could have won, but for a couple thousand... 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 votes
in Pennsylvania. The votes were dispersed.
In those three states.
Mm-hmm.
If Hillary Clinton wins those three states, mm-hmm. Donald Trump is not president of the United States.
Right.
And in those three states, she lost by a combined vote total of less than 100,000 votes.
Wow. That's really
so. For everybody who says their vote doesn't matter, their vote definitely matters.
Okay.
And so we have young people of color. Mm-hmm. Right. So let me take time to mention somebody like Andrew Gillum, mm-hmm. who is leading the polls mm-hmm. in Florida right now, mm-hmm. running for governor mm-hmm. in the Democratic primary. Great guy, Mayor of Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. Stacey Abrams could be she just won the primary in Georgia. She could be the first black female governor mm-hmm. in the history of the United States. Mm-hmm. Mandela Barnes. I mean, we have people throughout the entire country who are running, and we just need to support them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's possible. You're gonna have two, possibly three African Americans running for president of the United States.
But I don't think people are really people understand elections as it relates to Democrats, Republicans, and the presidential election. They don't really understand midterm elections. They don't understand electing senators and electing congressmen or congresswomen. They don't kind of understand the mid-level politics and politicians that would, you know, possibly stand for what it is that they want to see, you know, the change that they want to see. So, like, what's your advice to people who want to get involved in voting in the midterm elections? What kind of homework do they need to do in terms of, you know, making sure that they will be able to legally vote?
Well, first of all, black people have a propensity to vote every 4 years and we kind of skip the middle.
Yeah.
Right. You're like, we gave Barack Obama two really, really horrible congresses to work mm-hmm. with in the middle there. And so I oftentimes tell people that Eric Garcetti in L.A. has mm-hmm. more impact on your life than Donald Trump does.
Right. I agree
you
with
know,
that.
You know, your local officials.
Local voting. That's,
your school that's boards, your water commissioners, you know, all of those things. I mean, there are some elections, especially here in California. This is where the epicenter of the House changing. If the mm-hmm. House changes, then you can stifle Donald Trump's agenda.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
You know, there are about 8 seats here mm-hmm. that Democrats need to win. And so, you know, I've tried the argument that people died. You know, my father was shot. And people literally died so that you would have the right to vote. Mm-hmm. And there's really a disconnect. And mm-hmm. people don't really care about that message anymore. They're like, okay, I know the history.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Maybe they don't appreciate it as much as I do, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're talking about a woman's right to choose. You're talking about student loan debt. You're talking about home affordability. Mm-hmm. You're talking about small business loans. I was in the barbershop chair the other day, and the barber who was cutting my hair was talking about building a new shop. You know, where do I get access to these resources? And so those are all things that are controlled by the vote, and we need to participate. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican at the very basic level. I think that if you are paying attention, you would know who to vote for. Mm-hmm. But I really just need us to show up. And
yeah. What do you say about people like me? Unfortunately, I can't vote.
He's a felon.
I'm a felon. Even those votes still matter.
So what you need to do, is you should take it upon yourself to figure out who your member is in the South Carolina General Assembly, right? And you need to make sure that felons, as long as you're off your papers, can vote. So mm-hmm. in South Carolina, we have some of the best reentry laws. It's one of the rare things that we're leading the country in. Because if you're off your papers, you can vote. Mm-hmm. So as long as you're not on probation, parole,
you're
can
good.
Vote.
Oh, good. So next year, I should be able
you know
to.
That's South Carolina.
Are you going
to
move?
And so what I'm saying is that you need to identify your local elected officials and build that relationship.
Mm-hmm. Duly noted.
Okay. Well, there you go, Gio.
Duly noted.
Yeah, awesome. All right, so we got to wrap things up because I know that you have to go do Aisha Tyler's show.
I'm doing Aisha Tyler's new show tonight. AMC. Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah, she's amazing.
I'm such a fan. Like,
so it's a great show. So Netflix, I mean, not Netflix, DVR.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Netflix, perfect. DVR. So tell everybody where they can find you. You do not have an Instagram.
I do have an Instagram, but I'm not nearly as active. Yeah, as...
Have you liked any of my pictures?
Definitely not.
And then that part. She's trying to
good
get
idea.
You. She's trying to get you in a trick bag.
Right. I don't have a website or anything.
I don't have a website. But Twitter is Bakari _ Sellers. And then Instagram is Bakari, Bakari Sellers.
But where can people, if they want to do some reading and research, Let America Vote. What's the do they have a website?
Oh, so letamericavote.org is amazing. Just so you can figure out what your voting laws are in your particular state.
Right.
When to vote. those type things.
All right, perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming by.
Keep educating the people.
Yes, sir.
We're going to try, I promise you.
Thank you for coming by, Bakari.
Yes, and thank you, Zoe, for filling in.
This was great.
Yeah.
I love the back and forth banter, man.
Yeah, man. Great, man.
It's good stuff.
You know I love when you come up here because we get to gang up on
you. Sorry, I had to put y'all in
perspective. No, I don't gang up on him.
Oh, no, nobody gang up on me.
This is my guy right here.
Gio, I love you.
No, she doesn't. She does not.
I'm so glad I was able to, you know, school y'all on some deep shit that's going on in the world today.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Gio.
Okay.
For your guidance.
Thank you all for tuning in. Bye, everybody.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.